إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Turn the recording. Help him, please. Raziz. Storage is full, the memory is full. We'll get it for you, no problem, inshallah. This morning, Bi'idhni Allahi Ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the reading of At-Taqwa and its effects and the characteristics, the awsaf of the Muttaqeen, and their reward or recompense by Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And previously we mentioned the definition of a taqwa in the Sharia and the linguistic definition of a taqwa, and the Shaykh also mentioned following that ayat from the Quran and hadith that show the obligation upon the Muslim of observing taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and its importance and the reward for one who does so. And in both ayats from the Quran and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yesterday, the Shaykh began to discuss the descriptions, the awsaf of the people of taqwa, from the book and from the sunnah. And he mentioned a number of ayat. The first of them from Surah Al-Baqarah, in which he mentions that this book, yani the Quran, is a guidance for the muttaqeen. And these ayat from the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah also inform us of some of the characteristics of the people of taqwa, that they are the people who believe in the unseen, they establish the salat, they spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, and so on to the end of those ayat. And then the Shaykh mentioned also from Surah Al-Baqarah the response to those who were concerned at the time of the changing of the Qibla from Jerusalem to Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to them that Al-Birr is not just yani the direction that you turn your face, but rather al-birr is to believe in Allah in the last day and the angels and the books and the messengers. And he mentioned after this giving up one's wealth, establishing the salat, fulfilling the zakat, as well as keeping one's promise or covenants when you make them, being patient in poverty, in sickness, and at the time of battle. And he ends these ayahs by saying, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, that these are those who are truthful in their claim to Iman, and these are the people of taqwa. And the Shaykh also mentioned very importantly from Surah Ali Imran 133rd and 134th ayah, which he expounded on in some length and which we will continue to read from today. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Hasten to the forgiveness of your Rabb, and a Jannah whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth that has been prepared for the people of taqwa. And here in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of taqwa with some of the characteristics of their behavior and their actions. And that is, they are those who spend in any prosperity as well as in adversity. وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, يعني those who restrain themselves when they are extremely angry. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who pardon the people who have done some wrong to them. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves the people of ihsan, يعني the people who do good, the people who worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped, and are also good and kind and generous to the creatures, to the people. And the Shaykh expounded on this ayat and what we read yesterday in some detail. He mentioned a number of very important points. And along with that, he mentioned from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 111th ayat, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made He has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth in exchange for Jannah. And this is a very important matter to reflect upon, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has access for our lives and our wealth in exchange for Al-Jannah. What an arrangement. And yet, probably there is indeed a great hesitation to complete this deal. So the Shaykh, alhamdulillah, and he mentioned a lot of points, a lot of important points, and we ended with the mention of spending, with the discussion of spending, yani those who spend in prosperity and adversity. And the Shaykh, he talks about the fact that this spending from the believer is only seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there's no other objective, there's no other motive, there's no other intention except to earn the reward of Allah, His pleasure. So the Shaykh said, these are the motives. These are the motives for this spending, for charity and generosity. That's where we stopped at. And then he said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, blessed and exalted, tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, yani those who repress their extreme anger. Yani this is from the characteristics of the people of taqwa, that not only do they spend in prosperity and adversity, but they also repress their anger. When they are extremely angry, they restrain themselves and they refrain from the actions of the people of anger. Yani they don't act like the people who are angry act. Repressing anger and swallowing the bitterness of anger is a very difficult matter. Very difficult matter. Na'am. And the Shaykh says, he mentions the saying of Allah, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. But none is granted it, yani the above quality, except those who are patient, and none is granted it except the owner of a great portion, yani ذو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, a great portion of happiness in the hereafter, that is paradise, and a high moral character in this world. And this is not an easy matter, and none is granted it except the one who is helped by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani this ayah that the Shaykh mentions here, its context is very, very important. The context of this ayah. Yani the ayat that preceded from Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st Surah. This is ayah 35. But if we look at, if whoever is able to go back and look at these ayat from Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st Surah, from Ayah 29 to 36. From 29 to 36. The Shaykh, he quotes here Ayah 35. But we want to look back at what preceded it. Because the ayahs that preceded, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those who say Allah is Arab, and then they are upright. يعني إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا. يعني those who say Allah is Arab, and then after that they are upright, they act upon it, they live by that which they said. And amongst those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah, who makes da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then does righteous deeds. Yani the person who calls to Allah, and then their actions are the actions in accordance with that which they are calling to. As opposed to those who call to Allah, and their actions are contrary to what they are calling to. Yani who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah? Yani what better speech can a person have than calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that calling being followed by righteous actions? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that which precedes the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Yani, and that which is good and that which is evil, yani the hasana and the sayyi'a, they are not equal in any way whatsoever. They are not equal. Idfa billati hi ahsan. So repulse, yani the evil that comes to you from the people, repulse it with that which is ahsan, which is better. Yani, repulse it with good. In which case, the one between whom, the one who between you and him there's enmity or hatred, this repulsing evil with good will make that person as though he is for you a supporter and defender and a close beloved friend, waliyun hamim. And then this is the context in which this ayah came, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one will be granted this, or will accept and receive and act upon this advice of repulsing evil with good. No one will be able to do this except those who are patient. Except those who are patient. And of course, this patience is of the most important qualities of the believer. Yani, as-sabr and as-shukr. The believer is the one who is successful is the one who is patient with that which befalls him, of that which he dislikes, of calamities or afflictions, difficulties, hardships, pain and suffering, and is thankful and grateful when good comes to them, that which they like. Yani, these are the two characteristics of the believer. And there's nothing else in this world, in every situation or circumstance, except that one must be patient or grateful. Either patience or gratitude. So the Shaykh says, and none will be granted, none will accept, none will act upon this advice, this instruction, this wasiyah, except those who are patient, and none is granted it except the owner of a great portion of happiness and success and good fortune in this world and the next. And this is not an easy matter. This is not an easy matter. And here, I just want to, and for the benefit, I want to mention something briefly from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir concerning these ayat. And you can go back and see them yourself. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ, يعني that the good and the evil are not equal. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, the meaning of this, أَيْ فَرْقٌ عَظِيمٌ بَيْنَ هَذِهِ وَهَذِهِ. Yani there's a great, tremendous difference between the hasana, the good deed, good behavior, good character, and the sayyi'a, evil. There's a tremendous difference between them. Idfa billati hi ahsan, so repulse. Yani the evil that comes to you from the people with that which is better. He said the meaning of this, من أساء إليك فادفعه عنك بالإحسان إليه. So whoever does evil to you, then repulse it off from you, push it away from you by doing good to that person. By doing good to that person. Don't repulse it with equal evil. If a person abuses you in speech, don't abuse them back. Don't abuse them back in speech. A person does some harm to you or wrong to you, injustice to you, you don't do the same back to them. Rather, the way you repulse it and push it away from you is by doing good to them. Al-Ihsan. And this is from the characteristics of those who will have a great portion of success and happiness in this world, and most importantly, in the next life, Al-Jannah. And here, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and this is what I wanted to mention. Yani, the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab concerning this ayat, repulse that which is evil with that which is better, Umar said, مَا عَقَبْتَ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فِيكَ بِمِثْلِ أَنْ تُطِيعَ اللَّهَ فِيهِ مَا عَقَبْتَ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فِيكَ. Yani, that you will not have punished the one who disobeys Allah in you, meaning in their dealings with you, they do something of harm or evil to you that is disobedience to Allah. The one who has disobeyed Allah in you, in their dealing with you, they have done that which is ma'asiyah. They have committed a sin in their action towards you. A sin against Allah, yani against you, but disobedience to Allah. You have not punished this person. Bimithli and tuti Allah fihi. With the likeness of obeying Allah in that person. Meaning, in your dealings with that person, you do that which is obedience to Allah. In their dealing with you, they do that which is disobedience to Allah. So you return that with what? With obedience to Allah in your dealings with that person. مَا عَقَبْتَ مِنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فِيكَ بِمِثْلِ أَن تُطِيعَ اللَّهَ فِيهِ. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنُّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Yani, in this case, whoever does so, then the enmity that is between you and that person would be replaced by that person becoming a supporter and defender of you and a dear friend. He said it means as-sadiq, that person will be your true friend. The meaning of this saying is that إِذَا أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Yani, if you do good and treat kindly the one who has wronged you, قَادَتْهُ تِلْكَ الْحَسَنَةُ إِلَيْهِ إِلَى مُصَافَاتِكَ وَمَحَبَّتِكَ وَالْهُنُوُ عَلَيْكَ. Then this, treating this person well, who has done wrong to you, will drive this person, will force this person to be cordial to you, to have love for you, and to deal with you with tenderness and affection. حَتَّى يَصِيرُ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ لَكَ حَمِيمٌ. Yani, until he becomes like the person who is your supporter and defender and your dear friend. Yani, who will be, yani, qareeb, near to you because of his compassion towards you and his kindness to you. Yani, that person's position and condition towards you will be changed to the exact opposite. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this statement that the Shaykh mentioned, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. Meaning, no one will accept this wasiyah, this advice or this instruction. No one will act upon it. يَعْمَلُ بِهَا إِلَّا مَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Except the one who is patient with repulsing evil. Repulsing evil with good. And this is something that يَشُقُّ عَلَى النُّفُوسِ, is extremely difficult upon the souls. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one will accept this advice, no one will act upon it, no one will be granted success in doing so, except one who will have a great portion, a tremendous share of sa'ada, of happiness and good fortune and success for dunya wal akhirah, in this world and in the next. Now, it's general. There's no doubt that even non-Muslims, yani, they will be affected by good treatment, by the Islamic behavior. Affects everyone. Yani, there are some people just shayateen, there's no doubt. But the human being that retains any kind of goodness whatsoever will be affected by kind treatment. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ, he dealt with the pagan mushriks in Mecca and with the other people of disbelief from Ahl Kitab in Medina. And he treated those people well, for the most part. And there's certainly a different kind of treatment for the people who you are at war with on the battlefield. But in normal dealings with people, the Muslim should display the Islamic character of the Prophet ﷺ all the time. And that good treatment, Islamic behavior, yani the character of Islam, affects people, no doubt. There's no doubt, brother, that we have experienced this. I have myself seen people who are working in homes, yani doing, I don't know what you call it, domestic work, in Muslim countries, people who are disbelievers, who don't even speak the language of the people that they are working for. But the kind treatment that they receive from the people that employ them has such an effect on them, even though they couldn't communicate except the basic words of go here or do this or bring that. And those people accepted Islam from kind treatment. Without any dawah of words, they couldn't communicate. But the kind, I've seen many people accept Islam in this way, in the Muslim lands. Many people, not one or two, many. So there's no doubt, akhi, that this kind of the treatment, the Islamic character and manners, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, وَخَلَقَ النَّاسِ بِقُلُكٍ حَسَنٍ. This is how you deal with the people. This doesn't mean deal with the Muslims with good character. It means the people, the human beings, all human beings. And it affects people. And if it doesn't affect somebody, then this is... Yani Allah is in control of the hearts, but yani this is how we should deal with people. How far does it go? Yani do the best you can. This is something that's difficult to do, no doubt. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions the saying of Ali ibn Abi Talha rahimahullah from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma in the tafsir of this ayat. He said, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, أَمَرَ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالصَّبْرِ عند الغضب غضب والحلم عند الجهل والعفو عند الإساءة. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers in this ayat, يعني ادفع بالتي هي أحسن, يعني repulse evil with that which is better. He said Allah has commanded the believers in this ayat with sabr, patience at the time of غضب, when a person is angry. والحلم, يعني gentleness and forbearance. عند الجهل, يعني when you are in the face of ignorance, being يعني gentle in the face of ignorance. والعفو, and يعني pardoning. عند الإساءة, يعني on the occasion when wrong has been done to you. Patience at the time of anger, gentleness and forbearance with the one who shows you ignorance, and pardoning on the occasion of wrong that has been done to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the believers with this. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَخَضَعَ لَهُمْ أَدُوُّهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So if a person does this, yani if they observe these manners of patience and gentleness and forbearance and pardoning, if a person does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them from shaitan. From shaitan. And likewise, their enemies from the human beings will be humbled before them and be made as though they are waliyun hamim, as though they are supporter and defender of you and a dear friend. And then, yani, the last of these ayats, and Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله. فاستعذ بالله. And if يعني an evil whisper from shaitan comes to you to turn you away from doing the good that you intended to do when somebody did evil to you, and you want to return good to them for evil, maybe shaitan will whisper to you and tell you, why are you treating this person good? Why are you being kind to this person who has been yani mean to you, who has wronged you, has done injustice to you? If shaitan comes to you, if the whisper from shaitan comes to you to turn you away from the good that you intended to do or you were inclined to do, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, then seek refuge in Allah. For indeed, he said, indeed, Ibn Kathir says, the shaitan from the human being may be overcome by kindness to him. The human being in general, even a kafir, may perhaps be overcome. رُبَّمَا, the human being, yani the shaitan from the human being may be overcome by kindness to him. As far as the shaitan from amongst the jinn, then there's no way, there's no strategy, there's no means that you can yani defeat him with, except when he whispers to you, except seeking refuge in the one who created him, the one who has given you yani some power, or has given him some power over you. Yani there's no way, there's no strategy, there's no means that you can use to overcome him except by seeking refuge in his creator. So if you seek refuge in Allah and turn to him for protection and shelter and refuge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him back from you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will push back and repulse his evil plot or plan or scheme. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ends yani the tafsir of these ayat by saying, وَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ يَقُولُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مِنْ حَمْزِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ. Yani this is yani Ibn Kathir rahimahullah is mentioning this in reference to seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan, but it is also a benefit that from the authentic supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to recite when he stood up for salat, before he recited al-Fatiha. Yani contrary to what is found in most of the books of salat, that you should say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, we didn't find in any authentic hadith that on this occasion, in the beginning of the salat, when a person is reciting al-Fatiha, that you say a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. But rather what has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and others, is the likeness of this supplication that Ibn Kathir mentions here, and he also mentions it in the introduction to the tafsir of Al-Fatiha. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من حمزه ونفخه ونفثي. That I seek refuge in Allah, the one who is all-hearing and the one who is all-knowing, from the rejected shaitan, من حمزه ونفخه ونفثه. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah mentions in the explanation that has been authentically narrated concerning the meaning of these words, min hamzihi is whispering, that it means the insanity that he caused the person to be subjected to. Yani the whispering of shaitan, it means the insanity. Wa nafkhihi, his blowing, it means pride and arrogance, that he caused the person to become proud and arrogance. Wa nafthihi, yani his spitting, it means blameworthy poetry. Blameworthy poetry. And it is yani fitting to note that even that today the young people, they call that stuff, that rapping lines that they recite, spitting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek refuge in Allah from this yani spitting of shaitan, the blameworthy poetry. So after this, yani the Shaykh, he goes on to yani we return to what the Shaykh said concerning yani those qualities of the people of taqwa, that is that they are the people who repress their anger, al-kadhimin al-ghayz wal-afin 'anil nas wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. He said that those who, the saying of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those who repress anger and who pardon men, and who pardon men, pardon the people who have wronged them. He represses anger, but he does not stop there. Rather, he follows it up with forgiveness. Yani pardoning. Yani not only does he repress his anger, yani the anger that was evoked in him by the person's behavior, wrongdoing, or injustice, or evil, or harm that they have done against him, not only does he restrain his anger and repress his anger, but he follows it up by pardoning them. Yani wal'afina 'anil nas. They pardon the people. And he might follow it up further with benevolence, yani with kind treatment, with goodness, with charity. That is being generous to the one who has wronged him. Yani the meaning of the saying that what the Shaykh is saying here is that the ayat in Surah Ali Imran that he is in the course of explaining with these other ayats and any other references, he's saying that this ayat is a proof that not only the believers, not only do they repress their anger from the one who has wronged them, but further than that, they also will pardon them. Yani, the person who represses anger might not pardon the person, but from the characteristics of the believer is that not only repress your anger, but you also pardon and forgive the one who has wronged you, and perhaps even you may follow it up with what is even greater than all that, and that is by some charity or generosity or kind treatment of the one who has wronged you, who you have repressed your anger from, and you have pardoned, and you even do good to them. But the Shaykh says, but where are these types and these kinds of people? And where are these kind of people today? The people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in these ayat, where are they today? The people who restrain their anger when they have the ability to punish those who have wronged them. And the people who pardon those who have wronged them. And who take it even a step further and do good. Yani, idfa billati hi ahsan. They repulse evil by doing good to those who have wronged them. He said, they are more rare than red sulfur. There used to be many. Many of them among the Salaf. There used to be many among the Salaf, the predecessors. If you read the history, you find that which would surprise you. It will amaze you. Naam. But now this is scarce. Now there's animosity, vengefulness, problems and difficulties. Yani, somebody wrongs a person, there's no restraining anger. If they are able to punish, they will punish them. There's hatred and enmity for no reason other than the believer saying, our Lord is Allah, and saying the word of truth. So how much oppression there is, instead of repressing anger and forgiving people and being generous to them. We are in one valley, and this type of behavior that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers with is in another valley. During this time, many people are weak in the deen. You do not find many of them exercising restraint, restraining themselves from what they may perpetrate against the innocent Muslims. Oppression and slander is plentiful in this age. It has become widespread to an unparalleled extent in the sea, on land, in the air, and over the internet. Oppression and slander from the Muslims, against the Muslims, rather from the people of Sunnah, who claim to be the people of Sunnah, against the people of Sunnah. Oppression and slander is plentiful in this age. It has become widespread to an unparalleled extent in the sea, on land, in the air, and over the internet, in every sphere. The person is swept along like this. Yani, the masses of people are swept along. People spread falsehood, false accusations, slander and lying, and the people just carry it. Perhaps some speech inspired by shaitan comes into his mind, and he repeats it. This da'wah by Allah is in need of men who weigh their speech. Yani, who are careful about what they say, and who do not say a word unless they believe it to be true, implementing his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani, this da'wah is in need of people who are careful of what they say. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him speak good or remain silent. What is expected of us is that we implement this saying of the Prophet ﷺ in real life. The one who believes in Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, is between two matters. Either he speaks good, if he knows it is good, after ascertaining that this speech is true and beneficial and repels harm from Islam and the Muslims, then he says it. Yani, it's true and it will benefit in saying it at that time, and it will repel harm from Islam and the Muslims, then say it. So if he deems the speech to be other than this, then he must be silent. By Allah, he does not believe. Yani, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. That by Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he does not believe, and he repeated it three times. I swear by Allah, he does not believe the one whose neighbor is not safe from his harm. Al-bawa'iq, harm, he said it means slander, oppression, and lies, which many, many fall into now. Many of the people have fallen into this. Not necessarily the common people, because it might be that from the common people, there are those who fear Allah more so than many of those who ascribe to themselves knowledge. Such that it is as though those who ascribe to themselves knowledge, such that it is as though he learns knowledge in order to oppress. He learns how to lie and fabricate. He learns and studies literature so that he can speak with al-bawa'iq, harm and slander. I say this in advice to them, because indeed I see this to be a great matter, a sickness running through the midst of the students of knowledge. A sickness running through the midst of the students of knowledge. These illnesses, slandering and lying and backbiting, these illnesses and diseases strip away fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they strip away iman and kill the hearts, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. These sicknesses corrupt the manners of society, because we are obligated to nurture ourselves upon fear of Allah, and we are obligated to nurture ourselves to speak the truth, and before that, to seek the truth, so that you stand on the side of truth, and you stand upright upon justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it be against yourself, or your parents, or your relatives. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And here, I just want to take a few minutes again, yani, for a benefit from the commentary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah, in his explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentions, part of the hadith he mentioned, وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and dislikes for you, قِيلَ وَقَالَ, yani قِيلَ كَذَا وَقَالَ فُلَان كَذَا, yani قِيلَ وَقَالَ, the meaning of it is, such and such has been said. قِيلَ كَذَا, it has been said, without mentioning the one who said it. وَقَالَ فُلَان كَذَا, and so and so, mentioning the one who said it. So and so has said such and such and so and so. هَلْ أَلْمَانَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَوْضِ فِي النَّاسِ, يعني is the meaning of this that Allah dislikes. قِيلَ وَقَال, يعني it was said, or so and so said, is the meaning of this too much engaging or delving into the affairs of the people? وَمَاذَا قِيلَ فِي فُلَانِ وَمَاذَا قَالَ النَّاسِ, يعني what has been said about so and so, and what the people have said such and such. Is this what we mean? يعني delving into the affairs of the people, of what has been said and who has said such and such and so and so about so and so. أو المعنى أن ينقل الشيء بدون تثبت. Or is the meaning that a person transmits or conveys information without confirming its correctness, its truthfulness, its accuracy? Is this, what is the meaning here? Yani, is the meaning that people are just spreading, a lot of spreading, what so and so has said or whatever has been said? Or is the meaning conveying information without checking and confirming its reliability? The Shaykh says, كِلَاهُمَا, يعني both of them are intended. That Allah hates قِيلَ وَقَال, and it includes both of these meanings. Just spreading everything that has been said and whatever you hear, and as well, يعني conveying or transmitting information without confirming its reliability or correctness or authenticity. الإنسان كره الله له أن يكون ليس له حم إلا قيل وقال. يعني Allah hates for the human being that he doesn't have any concern except قيل وقال. That's all he is concerned about, is what has been said and who has said what about who. And the Shaykh يعني goes on in the explanation of this hadith, lengthy, very very lengthy explanation. In the end of the explanation of the hadith, the Shaykh mentions the fawaid of this hadith, and there were many. And from amongst the fawaid of this hadith, and this is what we will close with, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدَ الْحَدِيثِ, from the benefits of this hadith, أَنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِهَ قِيلَ وَقَالَ, that Allah hates and dislikes قِيلَ وَقَالَ, gossip, yani just people spreading whatever has been said about so-and-so and such-and-such. وَلِهَذَا جاء في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني the hadith that the Shaykh mentions here in the book that we are reading, يعني the last thing that he mentioned, this, that we must be the people in this da'wah, we must be the people who are concerned, who give weight to what we say and be careful about what we say, and we observe or implement the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him speak good or remain silent. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions this hadith under the fawaid of the hadith that Allah hates qila wa qal. He said, for this reason, yani Allah hates qila wa qal, and for this reason, it came in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut, that whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then he must, falyakul lam al-amr, then he must say that which is khair, or he must, mandatory, obligatory, remain silent. The Shaykh says, truly amazing saying, beautiful indeed, of great benefit for the people who have iman. Min kamal imanik, yani min kamal imanik, yani from the completion and the perfection of your iman, alla taqul illa khayran, is that you do not say anything except that it is good. Except that it is something that is good, that is true, that is accurate, that is beneficial, that will bring about good and not bring about harm. مِنْ كَمَالْ إِمَانِكَ أَلَّا تَقُولَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. This is from the perfection of iman, that a person does not say anything except that it is khair. وَلَعَجَبْ أَنَّ مَنْ كَانَ هَذَا مَنْهَجُهُ فَأَنَّهُ يُسْلَمْ مِنْ شُرُورٍ كَثِيرًا. And what is amazing, what is truly amazing, is that whoever makes this as his manhaj, as his normal way of dealing, his normal operation, his behavior, this is his manhaj, that what? that he doesn't speak except good. And if he doesn't have good to say, he remains silent. Whoever this is his manhaj, then he will be safe and he will be saved from much evil. وَمِنْ كَثُرَ كَلَامُهُ كَثُرَ سَقَتُهُ. And whoever speaks a lot, then he will make a lot of mistakes and errors. He will fall into many mistakes and errors. Whoever speaks little, then he will be safe from many harms. And whoever speaks a lot, he will fall into a lot of errors, a lot of mistakes. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ فَهَذَا هُوَ المؤمن وهذا هو السالم. However, whoever his speech is little, he doesn't talk a lot. وَكَانَ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. And whenever he does speak, he doesn't speak a lot. But if he does speak, he doesn't speak with anything except خير. فَهَذَا هُوَ المؤمن. Then this is the one who is the believer. وَهَذَا هُوَ السالم. And this is the one who will be safe from evil and harm. Yani the Shaykh, he is making us to know that this is the manhaj of the mu'min. The manhaj of the one who will be safe is what? That he doesn't speak a lot. But whenever he does speak, he doesn't speak with anything except that it is khair. And after this, yani the Shaykh, and he continues with this topic of the characteristics of the people of taqwa. Inshallah, we will complete what he said concerning this tomorrow. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or any correction of what has been said. Fikum barakallah.
Then they are upright.
نعم سورة الفصلات إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا. I think it's like 40 29 to 36. نعم. Yeah, the ayahs that I mentioned, I think I mentioned 29 to 36. However, it's probably 29 then, because it should be the beginning of those ayats. Naam. 30? 30, naam. Oh, yeah. Anything related to what we discussed this morning? In any case, brothers, alhamdulillah, we have heard, the Shaykh has given a good advice. It is incumbent upon us to look at ourselves and try to see where we have fallen into that which is error and to correct it. And if we have been doing that which is good, to stick to it, to protect it and to preserve it and to increase it. So indeed, from the great matters that we have been warned against is being reckless with the tongue. Especially the way that we talk about other people. And this has become one of the great fitnas that we found today in the world, especially in the Western countries, in England and America, that amongst many of the people, some people feel like they have the right to speak about other people. Whoever is not with them in their group or part of their organization or their jama'ah, they feel that they have the right to speak about other people and to accuse other people. And sometimes just make up stuff, invent, as the Shaykh said, lies, slander and oppression. And this is a great, great danger. And we should be careful that we don't fall into this, that we don't spread what people are spreading, especially without confirming the truth of it. And even if it's true, then it doesn't mean that everything that's true should be said. Rather, we have to examine whether or not the benefit is going to outweigh the harm, or will the harm outweigh the benefit, or if they're equal. And we know that from the guidelines of the scholars of the Sunnah in enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, is that we have to weigh the benefit and the harm, the maslaha and the mafsada. And we have to be careful that when we are enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong or speaking the truth, that we have to be careful that doing it at that time is actually going to bring about benefit. It's going to bring about good and not bring about a greater harm than the good that we intend. Because we know that the scholars of the Sunnah have made it clear that if a person is engaging in that which Allah has commanded, that which is obligatory, like enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong or speaking the truth, that it's not permissible to do so if in speaking the truth at that moment it will bring about a greater harm than the benefit. Because the purpose of speaking the truth, the purpose of enjoining the good, is what? To establish the good or to complete it. And if, yani, speaking at that time or doing a certain action at that time, instead of establishing the perfection of good or at least increasing the good, rather it establishes evil or increases the evil, then it's not permissible to do this. So we have to weigh our behavior, weigh our actions, and be careful that we don't spread lies against people, that we don't fabricate lies against people, that we don't slander people, whoever they may be, from amongst the believers, especially the people of Sunnah. That we should be very careful from this. And even if something is true, we should make sure that we weigh the benefit. Is it actually going to bring about good? Is it like necessary for this to be said in order to protect people, in order to protect the Muslims and protect Islam? Because a person, for example, is misleading people. A person who has deviated from the truth and they are misleading people, then perhaps that person has to be exposed and it has to be made known to people who don't know any better that this person is misleading people, that this person is misinforming people, that this person is making up things about Islam that have no basis so that people could be protected from them. Otherwise, we should be careful. We should be very, very careful that we don't fall into that which has become widespread today, yani, that is the spreading of the faults of the people, the weakness of the people, the errors of the people unnecessarily, and worse than that, just outright lying on people. May Allah protect us from that. Especially the students of knowledge. As the Shaykh said, that perhaps some of the common masses of the people, they have fear of Allah more than those who ascribe to themselves knowledge. Yani, they are more hesitant to say these things or to do these things than the so-called students of knowledge. We find that some of the people who ascribe to themselves knowledge are more reckless with their tongue than the common people. The people have more fear of Allah than them. The people wouldn't dare say the things that these people are saying or do the things that they are doing. This is the reality. There's no doubt about it. And the Shaykh, he's not just making this up. And just the idea came to his mind. He knows that this is what is happening. He said, I am saying this as advice to them because he sees that this is a great matter, a tremendous matter, a dangerous affair. So this is an advice to us. May we take it as an advice and act upon it and be careful and protect ourselves. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.